and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I'm Jess Farmer and my guest today is Dr. Glenn Sisk, who is a coach for men and former chiropractor. So this is a brilliant episode. Really enjoyed spending time with Glenn talking about his former career as a chiropractor and some of the deeper meaningful ways in which he was helping people heal through transformational way of being in presence, utter presence with his clients while they're on the table. And then we moved into talking about his work with coaching men, as well as some of the metaphysical aspects of meditation and how our alignment can massively help us to create the life that we want and create the dreams that we're aiming for. So I hope you enjoy this episode with Glenn. I know I very much enjoyed recording it with him. Hello and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I am here with Dr. Glenn Sisk, who is a chiropractor working with people to help facilitate their healing process. So thank you so much for coming on, Glenn. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jess. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's a real, real pleasure. I had a fantastic time when I met you quite recently at a dinner. Like everything that you had to share around your work with people was just absolutely captivating to me. So like I was just thinking like, oh my God, I would love to get Glenn on my podcast, and here you are. So thank you so much for coming on, bud.
Absolutely.
Great. So I'd love to just kick off just to ask like a little bit about yourself and what led you into helping people heal, what led you into working with people in the chiropractic way. I'd love to just get like a bit of a background, really, please, Glenn.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the career started long before I actually went to school. Grew up in the 60s and definitely was interested in things out of the norm back in those days, and got turned on to a book called Back to the Garden of Eden. And I think that's really where I first kind of got turned on to this other way of approaching health, you know, letting the body come to balance and like heal thyself, you know, basically. And so years went by, stayed on that health vibe that I was doing, just treating myself naturally, not taking drugs for this or that, and went to a chiropractor and had been working. I worked in manual labor and had thrown my back out. And my best friend said, well, you ought to go see my chiropractor. And I said, well, what's a chiropractor? And he'll find out where the problem is. I think I had some radiating pain down my arm, and he said he'll adjust you. And I said, well, what do you mean adjust me? He said, well, he'll move vertebrae. You know, very general definition from a friend. I think we're like, I don't know, 17 years old. So I went and saw him, and immediately the pain was gone. I mean, literally, the pain was gone. And I didn't really think about it. You know, I went on with my life, continued to be a carpenter and do that sort of thing. And then happened to fall into a business where I was given a gas station, and he was a mechanic. And so he said, listen, I'm going to work in the back and be a mechanic. You take over the gas station, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, sounds good to me. And just happened to be about a mile away from the chiropractic college, Logan Chiropractic College in St. Louis, Chesterfield, actually. And these guys were cool. They spoke my language. They taught me stuff that I had no idea anything about at all, because I've never pursued it past my own, you know, well, take this vitamin, you know, meditate, you know, do this and that. But they started explaining what chiropractic was really about. And I was like, yeah, you know, not really interested in going to school, you know, like 5 years of school, just I don't want to go to college. I'm not really interested. And that was that. And then about 2 years later, we were turning one family flats into two family condominiums. And one day I woke up and it was like one of those moments where you just ask yourself, like, or I ask myself, what are you doing? Like, is this really what you want to be doing for the rest of your life? I was worn out, working a lot of hours, and I was young and I was just tired. And I literally went next door and had a cup of coffee with a friend of mine. And I told her, I said, I think I'm going to be a chiropractor. Literally. I mean, that's exactly how it came. There was no forethought, nothing else going on. I think I'm going to become a chiropractor. And she looked at me like, really? And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to do that. And so I started the process, and a deal I made with myself, because school was kind of not my thing. I said I was going to take two introductory courses, one in biology and one in chemistry. And if I did well, in other words, if I got a passing grade and I liked it, then I was going to continue on. And I went and told my partner what was going on. And he kind of looked at me and started laughing and said, yeah, really, Glenn? Okay. But that was really the start of the whole, the ongoing progress of me really finding what my real, what I feel like my real mission in life was. And went through chiropractic college, loved every minute of it, made a commit to myself that I would totally understand the philosophy of chiropractic, not just the science and not just the implementation of the adjustment, but more about, you know, why am I doing this? What am I trying to achieve here as a chiropractor? And learned a lot of lessons from a lot of great great doctors. Gonstead Clinic taught me how to really adjust really well and very specifically. Read the green books. Got into why D.D. Palmer actually created chiropractic, and a lot of drama in the family. But you know, I think the message that I got was chiropractic. The reason D.D. Palmer saw chiropractic as being important is because it would unblock the spinal cord, which is actually responsible from bringing the energy from the universe down throughout the body. He was a magnetic healer. And I got that. I got that message. I understood that, you know, it made a lot of sense if the spinal cord was free from any obstruction, that the body could perform and function at its highest level. And that's how I proceeded. Learned how to be a really good adjuster. Used a lot of other techniques, sacro-occipital technique and a number of other techniques, because I felt that, you know, I had to have in my bag, not every therapy is going to fit. The same therapy is not going to fit every patient that comes in. So I learned a lot of different techniques, used a lot of different techniques, and had some really great results. I think one of the results, there's two results that I remember. The one was this little girl came in, and her mother, I was in a migrant farm area in California. And so I saw a lot of Mexican patients, really great patients. And she brought her daughter in, and her daughter, and I would have an interpreter there because I couldn't really understand completely what the language I learned, but it took some time. But I remember her telling my assistant that she was having a difficult time talking and hearing. And I said, well, okay, well, let's adjust the atlas then. And that was really exactly what I said. Let's get her in the chair and let's adjust her. And adjusted the atlas. And it was like 3 or 4 days later, she came back and she was hearing better. She was speaking better. And I was amazed. I was amazed that, because that was really the first time I had that kind of remarkable, unbelievable result as a result of adjusting an atlas. And the children responded so well to it. And then the other one was when I adjusted another atlas on an older gentleman, and he fainted like in the middle of the clinic. And I'm like, you know, the horror story. I was like, oh my God, I've killed this guy. He's, you know, come to find out what happened is he had an inner ear infection, and it did mess when I adjusted him, it messed up with his equilibrium, and he was like having a difficult time, but everything turned out well. But I practiced for 25 years. It was the best thing. I loved every bit of it. Every moment of it was a wonderful experience, you know, helping people regain their health, physically, spiritually, emotionally, It was amazing. It was an amazing experience. And then decided it was time for me to move on and started coaching. I still adjust and do some coherent healing and that sort of thing. But I think it's elevated into a different way of being. But those are good memories. Good. It was a great time in my life.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. There's so much I want to open up within that as well. So I introduced you as well as doing chiropractic now, but I understand, yeah, you've evolved into something else. So I'd love to ask a little bit about that as well. But to start off with, like, what would be your encapsulation of the philosophy of chiropractic way of working?
I believe it's removing blocks in this, you know, like for me, I really pertained everything to the spine. Like I didn't really go outside of the spine too much. I had to adjust extremities and that sort of thing, but I really focused because I got that message that if the spinal cord is free from any kind of disturbance, your body will work at its optimal level. And so whatever I did, I wanted to clear up any interference that was happening. And I used different types of modalities to measure what kind of interference there was, because that was really where I was focused. And the reason I focused on that is because I got what Dee Dee Palmer said. Like I believe, you know, it was more than just physical energy. You know, it was spirit, you know, it was the energy that I knew that our body operated on this voltage and, you know, 1.7 volts or something like that. And I knew that, you know, from my reading that, you know, we're mostly energy, you know, with very little mass. And so I just got that message, you know, and it was kind of without really thinking about it, I just understood that my goal as a chiropractor was to free up the spine, the spinal cord from any kind of blockage, any kind of disturbance. And then to teach folks, educate them on why it was important to do that, why it was important to eat a healthy healthy foods, and why it was important to stay away from medications as much as possible. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't on a crusade about it. I was just like, give your body a chance to come to equilibrium, come to your state of health, and let's see what goes on from there. So I think that was really, if you would ask me, for me, what was my practice about? That's what it was about. It was about helping them come back to balance, but also teaching them and giving them understanding on how the body works and why it's important to eat healthy foods and, you know, stay on the outside of the store. Don't go on the, you know, those were the kinds of things that we would say, you know, because, you know, that's where the better food was at. So that was my big deal.
Yeah. It's so poignant because, you know, we're just doing like an adjustment and without, like say, like working on the other stuff, potentially the person's going to bring the things back without working on, say, like getting a diet to a better place, because, you know, the body is this amazing, we've got this amazing, blessed with this amazing vehicle that is always seeking balance and always finding balance, but it's just like we act in ways that bring it out of balance, and then we kind of get pain as a recalibration tool, really.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Pain kind of says, listen, you're going in the wrong direction here, you know, you need to address something. Yeah. And here's some pain to give you the gift of having that awareness so that you can do what you need to do to come back to balance. And I really hear what you're saying around the kind of like the energy and the spiritual connection. Cause I heard that we can kind of think of the spine like a TV aerial, and, you know, and where a TV aerial, like back in the day where it's kinked and, or maybe not at the right angle, the TV signal coming into the TV is not going to be as clear or robust.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, I had got the understanding that the spine is an antennae for energy and one could say like consciousness as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I mean, as we delve into that, it gets really interesting. You know, the pineal gland is a very, very important part of the receiving and sending out messages, you know, and it just happens to be connected to the brain, right? And this pineal gland, let's just say it has a big part of what we receive and what we send out, you know, spiritually. And I knew nothing about that back in the day. I mean, the pineal gland anatomy, you know, we never learned anything more than just what its physiological function is. Come to find out, it's a lot deeper than that. But there's so much. I mean, when you look at what the body can do, it can produce drugs that heal, keep you from adverse. You know, I mean, there's so much. It's magical. I mean, it's really unbelievable what the body can do and the warnings that it gives us if we just pay attention, you know, and we find a person that can get in touch with your body and tune with it and help you come to a balance, you know, to a healthy balance. And I see that happening more and more now. People are really interested in that. They're really interested in taking really good care of themselves, not only physically, but spiritually. And it's making a big difference, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think being in pain is a big part of the spiritual process, because like the that engages the spiritual process for many people, you know, like how many times have you heard of someone going through some sort of life crisis, and this is right. A gateway towards working in and being in more of a spiritual paradigm and seeking answers and you know, moving to become come to a place of wholeness, greater wholeness, happiness, and health through the spiritual being. I'd love to ask, like you said about like the kind of intuitive connection as the therapist. Like I'd love to ask your take on that connection, because like I find that it's a really interesting thing, and I kind of like I find it when I'm working with someone, I'll get like some sort of message to say, "Oh, come over here," and I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'll go over there," and then I find the spot, and it's like I can't explain what's happening there. You know, it's just this really interesting dynamic. So what could you say about like the kind of therapist's intuitive connection to what's happening with the patient?
You know, that is a really good question. And over the course of practicing, because it is a practice day in and day out, you get better and better at it as you become more aware. Because awareness will bring about change, right? And as a practitioner, a health practitioner, and given permission to actually touch someone's body, that's a big deal. You know, there's an instant connection with when someone says, "Okay, I'm going to let you adjust me, or I'm going to let you do this, touch me here, touch me there." A lot of trust there. And I think with that dynamic and the awareness that the practitioner starts having about the body, depending on what technique they're using, they are energetically led to the area that needs to be taken care of. And at the same time, I think it's really important that you're helping people become aware of not only the physical effect, but the emotional and spiritual effect, you know, because there's things that happen when we're in like an emotional condition that change the body. You know, one of the things that I'm in the last couple of years became very aware of is that, you know, there really are two different types of awarenesses as far as a body. So I don't know if you've ever seen What the Bleep Do I Know? Great, great documentary on what I'm going to talk about right now. But you know, there's the memory of the past where we've been doing it for so long that we get addicted to the chemicals that are being produced as a result of being in the past. You know, you fell off a bike, you know, you got in a fight with a kid. Your mom said something to you that hurt your feelings. I mean, we can go on and, you know, let's go just in this lifetime. You know, we can go on and on and on about the things that have happened, you know, like, and even the happy things, right? But it's still a memory of the past. And then I believe there's being the vision of the future and being in present time consciousness. And I think when a practitioner gets to that point where they're in present time consciousness with the client, then magic starts to happen. I can remember as I went through the process that I would actually put my hands on the spine and I'd know exactly where to adjust. Didn't have to do any range of motion. And I spent, you know, better part of my career as a chiropractor doing ranges of motion. And, but I, what I found is as I got better and better at understanding the body and being receptive to the energy that this person was admitting, that I could actually pinpoint where these problems were at. And I'd adjust according to that, you know? So I totally agree with you that, again, I think the best thing I heard is it is a practice. We are practicing. We are learning. We are becoming aware. And as we become more aware, we become better at what we're doing, you know? So, yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Bud. How was that journey for you in terms of getting to know where how to adjust? Because like I found myself it's only kind of like recently that I've really moved into like a place of like greater trust with it, because I kind of like feel that all right, I need to go there. I don't really know why, and there's like less reliance on like you say the measuring and like this that and the other.
Right.
But it's definitely been a journey and it's been kind of, I need to be doing all of these measuring things to be absolutely certain of this. And now it's more in a place of like, okay, I'm measuring to check, but actually it's move more into that place of trust. But it was definitely a journey. Did you find a similar thing?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think I thought about it and I was like, well, I didn't do that or that or that. I've been doing this. You know, it was like, I didn't really think about it. It just came to me, you know, like I saw myself doing less of the, and I certainly, you know, I was a licensed professional in California. So there are certain things that are required of me to do no matter what for liability. And I did it, but I didn't really pay attention to it. You know, I'd take a look at if I saw anything weird, an X-ray, or we did the imaging, infrared imaging, if I saw anything weird there, you know. And I'm sure it because I had looked at them for so many thousands of X-rays, you know, at some point, I think it just became part of my consciousness, right? Like I'd see it, okay, you know, I wouldn't really have to completely analyze it and then go to the body. And it just automatically happened. Okay, here's what's happening. This is where I need to pay attention to, you know. I think that just develops. You know, when someone's really dedicated, like I was dedicated to really, that is the vision for my life, is to make a difference in people's lives. And I'm dedicated to that, and I have a desire to do that, then I think we become more conscious, more aware, depending on what technique we're using, as to where to go and take care of the problem, the issue, get to the cause of it, instead of, you know, rubbing pain creams on and that sort of thing. So I don't think there's not a book that actually guides you to that. It's an experience, you know. It's part of loving what you do and doing what you love, you know. And if I believe that if I'm really doing what I love and enjoying every minute of it, I'm going to be the best at it that I can possibly be, you know. And magic is going to happen. Things are going to start happening when you start putting in that spiritual aspect of it. It's just not matter to matter. Oh, I'll go and adjust it. Matter to matter. oh, maybe I need to connect to this person at a higher level and let's see where these problems are emanating. Let's see where this issue is happening. If I went into practice today, my practice would be totally different. I'd have them laying down meditating for 15 to 30 minutes every day. And then I'd say, there you go. Aren't you feeling a lot better now? You got connected to the quantum. So things are going to go well. And you can, I mean, I've experienced this. I can self-adjust. I mean, it's kind of really weird that, interesting that I'm actually able to self-adjust myself, you know, and I've been working on it for a lot of years. It's like, how am I going to get my atlas to adjust, you know? And now I've figured out a certain technique. When I lay down and I pull and I do an exercise, I can actually adjust the atlas. But that's paying attention, you know, that's being in a meditative state of being in connection with present time consciousness and not the memories of the past. Lots of good things happen in that space. I remember practicing one of my coaches. I had a number of coaches, but and the reason that he said this didn't really turn out that way for me. But the reason that he said it is, if you're at present time consciousness when you're with your client and you're not talking about the weather and you're not talking about what they're doing today, but you're really just present with them, that not only will you be able to take care of them quicker, but you'll have a connection with them that will really get you to the crux of the matter quicker. And so I practice that every day. You know, I didn't talk to them about how their in-laws were doing or how their wife was doing. I talked about them. How are you doing today? What's going on today? And then proceed from there. You do that for a while, the other things are going to start happening. You know, like you're going to become more aware. So,
that's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that, mate. So much in there. I mean, like, I really agree with you in terms of, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to work with people in that intimate space, you know, and I think it's that intimacy that helps you to create that connection where these different things can happen.
Right.
And I'd love to, there's so much I want to open up around this. So I want to ask about the Atlas next, actually, because we've mentioned it a couple of times, and I know how fundamental the Atlas is and can be in terms of challenges that occur within the body. So I understand it's the top vertebrae, and its natural state, we want it to be balanced, but it can shift in all sorts of different directions, left, right, forward, back, can rotate. And I also understand that the different positions that the atlas can move into can then affect things further down the chain. So, for example, if the atlas is shifted to the right, this can potentially cause the person to shift to the right. And then, you know, this could be why they've got the knee pain, for instance. So, yeah, I'd love to ask you on, like, thoughts on the atlas, please, bud.
There's probably not a more important vertebrae to pay attention to than the atlas for a number of reasons. And I would be more inclined to say, yes, it's going to affect the downward angle, but more importantly, as a result of torsion, it's going to put pressure on the hind brain and some of the rest of the parts of the brain, which can cause some issues, right? I mean, if you think about it, start putting pressure on the hypothalamus or pressure on the hind brain, you're going to have some issues show up. So, and there are chiropractors that dedicate themselves to the atlas only. That's all they'll adjust. And there's a whole technique that goes with that. So yes, I mean, torsion is such a big deal with the spine. And because it's connected inside of the spinal column by dentate ligaments, you know, there's so much that can happen as a result of one tiny little turn of the atlas. Causes a lot of problems. I mean, There are so many times that I would adjust the Atlas and it would totally take care of whatever else was going on, you know, arm pain, leg pain. And then there were other times I'd adjust the Atlas and nothing would happen. So, you know, it became a process of discovering. And like I said, like having a lot of modalities or therapies in your bag, so that if one's not working, the other will, you try until you find the one that works. SOT for Atlas. I mean, amazing, amazing results with children, babies coming out of the womb, you know, the process that they go through, if it's not a natural childbirth, can be pretty traumatic for them. A lot of, you know, force ups and twisting and turning and, you know, horrendous way of delivering a child, but that's what they do sometimes, you know. But I mean, it's a major place of subluxation that can cause a lot of problems because of the torsion. Because, you know, if you have a rope, you know, and then you start turning and twisting, it's going to apply pressure all the way down that axis, right? So yeah, very important, and can cause a lot of problems far away from the head or the neck. But also, again, think of, and I don't have anything, it's like sometimes it's just a knowingness. Like, you know, if you're going to have pressure applied and torsion applied, it, the cords connect to the brain, it's going to bring it down and apply pressure onto the occiput and that, and different parts of the brain. So releasing it obviously the person's going to not only feel better, but be better as a result of it physically. Just matter of fact.
Yeah. Wow. It's just, I knew it's influential, but like that's just put a whole new kind of take on it. So a couple of questions. Like, first question is, like, if it's rotated, this causes like this like rotation all the way down the spine, which will that then affect the length of the nerves kind of coming out, like the sciatic nerve, for instance?
Yeah. So I think what we got to get back to is adaptation. The body's going to adapt. First thing the body wants to do is keep its vision horizontal, right? Like, it wants to, the head and the eyes want to stay up like this no matter what. So whatever it has to do between the sacrum and the atlas, how many times it has to twist and turn and contract a muscle and relax a muscle, because now we're talking about the whole body, not just talking about the spine. What's the result? I mean, there's, you know, talk about amazing. When you think about the nervous system, it's so much more than just the spinal cord and nerves emitting out of a spinal column. It spreads out to the fabric, you know, like those nerve endings are so fine, and it's just a weaving together of this complete fabric that's making up the body, the inside of the body and the outside of the body. And so when one change begets another change, and the body wants to establish balance, whatever it has to do, it wants to establish balance. And the more time that goes on, osteoarthritis, muscle cramping, I mean, the story, you know, all those symptoms on and on and on and on as a result of having a vertebrae out of alignment. You know, like you see patients with scoliosis, like it's an S curve, you know, but their head is directly over their sacrum, you know, because it wants to maintain balance. So all of the things that the body goes through to maintain that balance, and, you know, not leaning forward, so then we're going to stick our chest and stomach out, different phases of the posture. And then at some point, if it's not taken care of, the body just gives up, can't do it anymore. You know, it'll fall over, something will break, disease starts happening, deterioration starts happening. And that's the process. So I mean, I used in my clinic, I had massage therapists, I had electrical therapy, and we had massage sticks. I mean, we did the whole thing to bring the body back into balance. My belief system was it starts with the nervous system, starts with the spine, and then it works its way out. Other therapists think it goes the other way. It doesn't matter to me. As long as we're approaching the body as an integrated unit and start helping that body come back to normal, whatever that is. You know, and we can explain it in anatomical terms, physiological terms. It starts with the muscle and goes to the spine. It starts with the spine and goes to the joint. Doesn't really matter. Because I've seen all types of therapies and modalities work, and they're not all thinking about the same thing except one thing, and that's bringing the body back to balance. Most important thing. And in my arena, when the spine gets out of alignment, the body gets out of balance. It's just the way it is. And it'll affects the whole body. You know, you can have a cuboid bone out on your foot, and I've adjusted it before and it's taking care of the low back pain. Mm-hmm. You know, like, figure that one out. Like, you know, but apparently some type of physiological anatomical thing is happening that affects, and I think probably because the foot's rotating, it probably affects the ilium and blah, blah, blah. But I don't have any proof of that. All I know is clinically, this is what I did, and it cleared up the back pain. So I'll try it again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it is more clinical, I think, for me than it is, you know, scientific proof and evidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice to have, but clinical aspect, I think, is much more powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you scientifically prove that you touch a part of a body and the pain leaves, pain goes away? I don't know that you can explain that scientifically, but I think you can explain it clinically. Mm-hmm. Deliver the power.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And do you feel that there's an emotional connection to what changes posture? And if so, what could you say on that? Because if we are looking at the emotions and that there may be a link towards that and pain in the body, that makes it potentially even harder to scientifically validate it.
I'm going to tell you two things that I learned early on. The first thing is that pain is 90% psychosomatic. And I had this professor doing a lecture with our class, and I'd have never thought that would have come out of his mouth, but he's a chiropractor. 90% of disease is psychosomatic. The next thing is, if you listen to your client, you'll get the diagnosis from what they tell you. You know, yes, diagnostic testing, blah, 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 but they're going to tell you what the problem is. So I had this, I'm in a student clinic, and I have this really nice older patient up in age. And she says to me, I get stomach pain every day. And I said, every day? Yeah. And I said, well, before you eat, after you eat? I think she said after she ate. And I said, okay. Now, I don't know where this came from, but I just said, well, you need to take this. It had HCL in it. She took it, came back 3 days later and said that the pain was completely gone. Psychosomatic, somebody was listening to her, somebody cared about her, somebody wanted to help her, listened to her, gave her love, or the vitamin. I don't know. All I know is she didn't have any more pain any longer. She had no pain. So I definitely believe that emotion is, and it, so for me, philosophically, what it gets back to is that people are living out of the memories of their past, and they're hooked on the drug. So it's going to fire it up again and again and again and again, whether it's pain or it's a melancholy. There's all kinds of drugs that those emotions can manufacture in the body. Valium, you know, all of them. So yes, the long answer to your question was, I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. Get free of a relationship. And that's why really kind of why I moved into coaching, because I was really coaching, because, you know, there's a physical aspect, but that's just the representation of what is happening with the person emotionally. And so I would take time, you know, because it became part of the practice to have those conversations, you know, because I knew it was important to heal. You know, I got through the present time consciousness and I just adjust them and get them out of there. You know, it wasn't really like that, but, you know, I want to take more time because I felt like emotionally people are suffering. You know, they were going through a lot of pain. And they get out of a relationship, or they'd have a talk with their son, or something would happen as a result of us talking, and they're better. Pain was gone. So yeah, big, big, big part of bringing people back to balance, bringing your clients back to balance. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love to ask about you, your coaching practice that you've evolved into, and what's it all about, Glenn? Who what kinds of people do you help? And yeah, what kind of coaching would you describe it as?
Yeah, so it was time for me to move on. Chiropractic was wonderful. I loved it, but I just didn't see myself doing it at the level I was doing it at. And had to be shown. I was a little stubborn, like, yo, Glenn, it's done. Next phase of your life. That took me a while to get through that. But I started coaching with men, and clients of my wife would have a man, you know, they would have a relationship going on or something like that. And I would start coaching them. So I really enjoy coaching men and kind of bringing them to a point of living the life that they desire versus living a life that is from memory. You know, men that are, you know, struggling in their relationships, struggling in their businesses, there's just an easier way to do it. And so I'm big on, you know, meditating, putting that into your life so that you're working in the quantum field instead of matter to matter. I did that for a lot of years. And just improve your overall quality of life, not only physically, mentally, but more importantly, spiritually. And so if that's my favorite client is like moving them from matter to matter to spiritual, you know, like starting to meditate, seeing what can happen with meditation and resolving issues and getting out of, you know, a lot of the pride, you know, the person that it has influenced me the most is Dr. Joe Dispenza, just on the materials he's written and gone to his classes. So I think that his work has been real instrumental in what I'm doing right now. So yeah, that's what I do.
Fantastic. So what is connecting to the quantum? How would you describe that, if it's possible to describe that? Because I understand the quantum is infinite.
I'm probably not the person to do that. Dr. Joe can do a much better job of it. You know, there is a triunal spirit. I think maybe people got the story a little mixed up when they retold it. But I think we have a mind of God, and I think we can connect with that universe. I don't care what you call it, the power, the divine consciousness. You know, Osho once said that once you get conscious, we start out, we're about 1% conscious. And then once we get to like 90% consciousness, then we can actually start experiencing the quantum field. And that's where the magic happens. That's where the potential's at. That's where all the possibilities are. And I don't know any other way of approaching it or connecting with it except through meditation. And in that meditative state where you're still aware, you're conscious, you're aware that you're aware, but you're still in darkness. And I mean, you know, like there's nothing but vast space, that's where the possibilities are at. And that's where I believe we get out of the memories of the past. And God knows they've gone on for thousands of years. I mean, I have thoughts of one of my buddies and we were in the Roman army, you know, like who knows, but past lives, and we clear those things up. And there's a number of, I think, steps that it takes to bring yourself to what we call enlightenment. And I think that's where the fun's at. I think picking a potential out of the quantum field and feeling the emotion of actually that potential being manifested and the feeling of having that manifest is magical. It's one of the most beautiful things that could happen, I think, whether it be manifesting abundance or manifesting a relationship in your life or manifesting someone else having an amazing experience, a result of the love that you showed towards them. It's just a different way of living and being. I can't quantify the quantum field, nor will I try. I think it's part of the mystery, but it's sure. But we definitely can. We can record the effects that it has on the body. We can see changes in brain waves, and we can see instantaneous, spontaneous healings occur as a result of being connected to the quantum field. The possibilities are unlimited. Just depends on what you desire. I don't know if I answered your question, but I did the best I could.
No, that's beautiful, mate. Thank you. No, I love Joe Dispenza's work, and you hear all sorts of crazy stories from his workshops. You know, people with end stage cancer going into total remission that they documented, and you know, really, really, you know, scientifically validated it and scientifically studied it. He's looked at the, as you said, the brainwave patterns, seeing what happens when you create heart brain coherence, and seeing and getting a glimpse of some of the power that we carry. And you know, they've also done I know experiments within his workshops of what happens when like 5,000 people get together and all meditate at once, and some crazy things happen. Like there's an
unbelievable
There's another experiment. This is not the Joe Dispenza's experiment, but this has been done numerous times, and they've had thousands of meditators all at once, so like 7,000 meditators in a city, and they've had them meditating, and then proven that during the time that they're meditating, crime rates go down in the city around them, admittance to A&E wards goes down, while the people are meditating. So it raises interesting thoughts and questions.
I've seen that study. I've seen things like unbelievable things happen in the dispensa groups. I think I've gone to about five of them now. We're creators and we've forgotten that part of us. And that's the gift that was been given to us, that we're creators. Out of the quantum field, we can create whatever we desire. And it's as divine consciousness, that is the truest nature, is to create whatever it is you desire, whether it's abundance. And I think the big problem is, and I could even apply this to myself, is that we've fallen asleep and we become beggars. And all we need to do is wake up. Just got to wake up. You know, there's a bigger and better life out there for all of us, and we can live the vision of our future. Whatever we desire it to be, we can live it. It can be real. It can become. It has become a reality for many people. I love it. It's a great way to live. You know, wake up every day with that new energy and just like a little kid, you know, running around and just having fun. Good way to be.
That's fantastic, mate. Well, what advice could you give someone who's maybe like listening and going like, oh, well, that all sounds great, but you know, I've tried meditation and it didn't really work, or maybe other people can do that, but I don't think I can.
Yeah. Here's what I tell all of my clients, because I know in 90 days, you can prove to yourself that things do work if you do it every day. So my advice would be this: make a commitment to meditate every day for 90 days. And I don't mean you have to stare at a candle for an hour. That's not what you need to do. All you need to do is be silent. And if you don't want to be silent, get a guided meditation. That's fine. But just spend 15 to 25 minutes a day with yourself in meditation, and do it for 90 days straight. If it doesn't change your life, then go to something else. But I pretty much guarantee if you commit to doing that for 25 and really commit, like silence the brain, you know, that body is used to controlling. It's really the body's controlling the mind. Now we want to take the mind and control the body. So we got to get out of that self-talk, which means being silent and just telling them to stop while we have a moment with a quantum field. I'll be back. I'll come back to you. Don't worry. I'm not going to leave you. But right now I need 25 minutes of silence. And it's just practice. After a while, you get really good at it, you know, and you can silence that person and whoever that was, and then it's done. But that'd be my advice. Be a creator. Be who you were designed to be. Find out who that is and then be it. And have a blast doing it.
Amen to that, brother.
Amen to that, brother. It's right.
Cool, man. So I'd like to ask about your work with men, and ask what are some of the top challenges that the men that you coach face, and how can they work to overcome them?
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest things is having the confidence and believing in themselves that they can actually do what they desire to do. And then showing them an easier way to do it. Because it's really tough when it's slow and it's hard and it's a lot of work to go matter to matter. And so helping them see that by meditating 25 minutes a day, even less, that will help them, and ideas will come, and it'll just become easier and easier and easier to really live the life they want to, that they really desire to live. So you know, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances, whether it's, you know, your family, it's just part of the process. You know, it's part of the process of living and growing up and moving forward and creating a life that you really desire, you know, basic stuff. But people, and especially men that I work on, they're not really conscious of it. They don't really understand that they actually have a choice, you know? And I find a lot of, you know, a lot of men, you know, it probably started for them on this part of the journey with their fathers, you know, and, you know, all they really wanted is to be loved by their dads, and dad didn't really have time for that. And not in all cases, I'm saying in a lot of cases. And I think we do all also kind of attract to ourselves the same issues that I had to overcome are the same men that come to see me. It's just going through that. It's dropping the old body. It's just dropping the memories of the past. And it's a shortcut. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in therapy. And I'm telling you, leaving the life of living memories to living the vision of the future, it's a shortcut. You just get rid of all that stuff and boom, it's gone. And now you're focused on what's really important. But you have to come to understand that too. I had to come to understand that. So I don't know if I answered your question. I hope I did.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you, mate. Thank you. I want to ask a follow-up question in terms of like the phrase matter to matter. So is this kind of like the, that makes me think of like the physical grind and the kind of like having to do things the hard way. But like, could you kind of expand on what is matter to matter?
Yeah, so the way I see it is, it's just trying to, you know, like it's resistance or it's non-resistance. It's like pushing up against it, making things happen. Like, I'm going to make this happen, you know, or I'm going to make this happen. And then working really hard at making it happen and getting beat up a lot along the way. And I think you have to experience. I think that it is becomes an experiential thing to, because I've been doing this. I've been doing, you know, started out with Norman Vincent Peale, you know, Ziggy, you know, Ziegler. I mean, I've been doing this mind stuff for, 40 years, 45 years. And you get a glimpse of the miracles that can happen as a result of just having a thought that turns into a reality. I didn't really catch the whole thing. You know, I didn't really get it, but I knew it could happen and I did it. I've done it before, right? That's not matter to matter. That's miracle minded. That's how do you cure stage 4 cancer spontaneously? That's not matter to matter. Matter to matter is cutting the hair off, or no, giving radiation therapy so the hair falls out and hoping that you can kill everything inside of it, but not destroy the body. That's matter to matter, right? Quantum field is getting good enough at contacting the potentials, which does take practice, and then spontaneously healing thyself. That's the mystery. I don't really care. I don't really need to know it. All I know is it works. All I know is if I keep practicing, that I get good enough to bring about things in a really spontaneous, miraculous way. And I've seen it happen. I mean, I adjusted the Atlas. Do I really, and she starts talking and can hear better. Do I really think that was all about the Atlas? that person was brought to me at that specific time to get that specific adjustment so the body could work its miracle. It, you know, like I don't take credit for it. All I take credit for is listening and following. So matter to matter is like kind of like trying to punch out of the bag instead of just letting the bag open so you can walk out. You know, like it's resistance. It's a lot of work. And I did a lot of that in the beginning of my chiropractic career, a lot of hard work, matter to matter. And then it started to flow, you know, and things, because thoughts are things. They are. They create. Those thoughts create. And you can look at people, you know, people that are miserable, having a terrible time, and you watch their language and you see what they say. They're creating that life for themselves. So that's not matter to matter. That's the mind speaking to the heart with inspiration. That's what I call a triunal, like God, the Christ heart, and the Holy Spirit bringing down the information. Not getting religious here, just an interpretation of what I think is the real deal with Jesus Christ. You know, we all are Christ. Jesus had the name Jesus. I get that. But we all are Christ. It's the gift that's been given to us. And it's a power of love, and it's what the thing that brings us together. There is no religion. It's not religious. So it is miraculous when we start noticing and paying attention to the process of meditation and what's really happening. You know, just a test. Joe says it all the time. Just, you know, if you've actually emulated with God here, let's just have him show us a sign. It has shown me many signs.
I love that it's such a mystery and that we will never figure it out, really. And it's not there to be figured out anyway, you know. But like, you know, the mind wants to, you know, understand and figure this and figure that. And it's almost as though, like, the more you try and figure it out, the more mysterious it becomes as a means of kind of like, that's okay. You know, this human's trying to figure it out. But it's beyond figuring out, because it's this mystery that we'll never fully grasp or understand, which is, you know, it makes me feel quite safe in a way. It's strange to kind of like articulate it, but, you know, it's kind of like, I was having a discussion with some friends on the weekend about what a potentially lonely place it could be to be like a hardcore atheist. And, you know, to believe that we're just a phenomenon of biology that's come here through evolution. We're on this rock spinning and hurtling through space, and we're alone, completely alone. And I was like, man, that's a terror. Like that's quite a terrifying, lonely kind of paradigm as I see it. I don't want to judge it. It's not judge it, but that's kind of like my interpretation, actually having been atheist previously myself. And it's kind of like the feeling that, you know, there is this unified quantum field, and maybe like there's this power greater than us that is kind of guiding and facilitating and moving things. It gives me so much comfort and this feeling of safety, and that, you know, we're not alone. We're not this, like, you know, biological phenomenon on this rock spinning, hurtling through space. Maybe there's a higher order to things. There's a higher, deeper reason, a higher order and a deeper reason to this life that we're have the joy and the honor of experiencing. It's like, wow, when you kind of like look at life and look at what's happening, it is just like endlessly incredible.
And thank God for that, right?
Thank God for that.
Yeah. If there was. I'm so thankful for the mystery, like you said, you know, like I couldn't even contemplate what it would be like to think that I was just this biological model on this planet and there was nothing else. That'd be a tough one. Very lonely, I would think. I don't know, because I've never been an atheist, so I wouldn't have any idea. But what I've heard is it's a big leap of faith to be an atheist. But anyway, we just got to just love one another. And I see the divinity in everyone that I look at. That's my new way of being. Get out of the aggressiveness, get out of the judgment, get out of the envy, just see the divinity in each person. And, you know, whatever, I mean, my wife and I were sitting at a table at a restaurant, and this guy was just giving his wife a load on, and he was just beating her up bad verbally. And Gina and I looked over at the woman, right? And I just kind of lifted my head up. And then I looked over at my wife, Gina, and I said, let's do a little bit of heart coherence here. Let's see what we can do. So we went into the mind coherence, heart coherence, and just sent him love. And my wife's looking at me, and she said, like butter in my hand. Like he totally changed, totally became kinder, totally was having a conversation with his wife that was more respectful, more loving. And it just was a thought I had, like, let's give it a go, you know, let's see what happens, you know, like, let's see the divinity in him, you know, let's call it out and let's see what happens. And it changed, you know, until they got up and left, and Gina and I looked at each other and said, wow, that was pretty interesting, right? And she's the one that noticed it when we actually started doing it. Like, I wasn't even looking at him. I was just hearing it. I was just saying, did you hear that? Well, like, she needs some help. And which says to me that we have a lot of power, that as individuals connecting to that God force, that divine consciousness, that we have the ability to change this planet in a bigger way than, you know, any of us maybe thinks possible. Just got to do it.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Yeah. I had a few things this year that has been pointing me in the direction of love. Love heals all. This glow just keeps coming in, and it's just like another affirmation of that. And what a beautiful practice as well. Like, my God, like, how much could you shift within yourself if you're triggered or like something? It's just like, no, I choose to go to love. I'm going to send love to this situation. No matter how hard it is, I'm going to do my best to stay connected to my heart and love. Like, what a practice. It's just like, and seeing how that can change things around you.
Well, it changes everything. And then when you put it into head coherence, heart coherence, head coherence, then you just spontaneously start to manifest things. At some point. I mean, I have one instance of it that I know of. Jesus Christ turned the water to wine, and he was up on the hill meditating every day. Every day. Right? So that's called spontaneous generation. Boom, there it is. Now, I believe that story's true. I do. I think there's lots of human beings that have been on this planet that have had that ability. I just think that the day of the guru is done. That it's now the day of us taking our own personal responsibility for connecting with spirit on a regular basis and seeing the divinity in each one of everyone, you know, like, stop the judgment, you know. And I trust me, I know all about judgment. That was a big deal with me, judging, but now it's not. So No, so we change and we do things differently. And then we get in alignment with the whole thing that's happening right now, and we'll see a different world. It has to be possible. It's the law. We just have to be enough of us all creating the same thing. So anyway.
I love this. It's like we began the conversation by speaking about the alignment of the spine, and you know, now we're in a place of the alignment for humanity, and it's the same thing, you know?
It's all related, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. This call's been great, Jess.
Yeah, Glenn, this has been a fantastic hour spending some time with you. I deeply appreciate you and deeply appreciate your time. I've got one more question if you got to.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Phoenix Vision is dedicated to creating a transformative vision of health for its listeners. So my question is, what does transformation mean to you? And what would you like to transform in the future?
Transformation for me is making a decision to live in the future vision of myself. And what was the second part of that question?
What would you like to transform in the future?
So, and I've alluded to this, but the transformation that I desire to see, that I personally am focused on, is a world that is living in peace. Mm-hmm. That every woman, man, and child has this look of thanksgiving as a result of being blessed with all of their desires.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Glenn.
My pleasure, Jess.
How can people find out more about you and if you're about your coaching business, Glenn?
Go to divineliving.com and there'll be a page up that you can check out about my coaching and also my wife, Gina DeVee. So yeah, divineliving.com. Divine. Simple. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Glenn, this has been such an inspiring conversation. Like, I really appreciate your time, and it's been great, mate. I feel like I've learned like a lot of things, and hopefully the listeners have also picked up a lot from it as well. And I'm inspired. I'm thinking I'm gonna start meditating a lot more. This is my feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Well, you're a good man. So I appreciate you, you know, I was really glad to have met you and with that group, and hope to see you again soon. We'll be in London. I'll give you a jingle and we'll see what happens. All right.
Please do. I'd love to.
All right.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. Love always. Thanks, Jess. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother.